Open your Bible, 2 Timothy. We're in chapter 2. We're going to read our scripture passage today, 2 Timothy 2, 14 to 19. We've been walking through the letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And if you remember, Paul was a church planter who was discipling a young man named Timothy. And he wrote this letter as Paul was going back to Jerusalem, leaving Timothy as the pastor of the church in Ephesus. And we looked at the first chapter where Paul said to Timothy, well, what I have to teach you is coming from the Lord himself to get you to be ready to be the man that he's called you to be. So he gave Timothy these first words, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And then secondly, we learned that we're called to go and reproduce our faith in others. That this journey towards Jesus is not for ourselves and what we can receive from it, but instead we're called to go and make disciples that make disciples that make disciples that make disciples. So today let's continue reading through this letter that Paul wrote and see what we can receive from his conversation between this great leader and as he was passing the torch to his disciple. 2 Timothy 2:14. Remind everyone about these things and command them in God's presence to stop fighting over words. Such arguments are useless and they can ruin those who hear them. Work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker, one who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly explains the word of truth. Avoid worthless, foolish talk that only leads to more godless behavior. This kind of talk spreads like cancer, and in the case of Hermeneus and Philetus, they have left the path of truth, claiming that resurrection of the dead has already occurred. And in this way, they have turned some people away from their faith. But God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone with this inscription: the Lord knows who are his, and all who belong to the Lord must turn away from evil. So Paul is equipping and encouraging a young pastor, Timothy, to lead the church in Ephesus. And he starts out with this, we said it, but he starts out with have no fear. And then secondly, he says, Timothy, make disciples that make disciples, make disciples. And now the third thing that Paul is going to teach to Timothy is watch your mouth. Now, you might ask, why would he go there so fast? Like, there's a lot of things going on in the church. Why are you telling your leader so quickly, watch your mouth? Well, let me tell you this. It's because of the incredible power of our words. The Bible says in Proverbs 18:21 that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And if you read in the New Testament, James, the brother of Jesus, he says things like, the small rudder of a huge ship steers the entire massive boat. And so your tongue can steer your entire life. Or it's like a forest fire that burns down homes and cities, and it's all started by the small spark, like the spark a misplaced word. You see, in society, we've tamed all kinds of wild animals. Now you can pay just a few dollars and you can walk into a zoo and you can look at the animals that people used to run from. But still, we struggle with taming the tongue. Jesus said, it's out of an overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. So in reality, we don't have a language problem. I don't have a language problem. We have a heart problem. There's an old saying, and maybe you've heard it. It says you don't have a potty mouth, you have a potty heart. In fact, Proverbs says this, careless words stab like a sword, but wise words lead to healing. Now, I don't have a sword. I didn't bring my sword because I don't typically carry my sword around with me. But I do carry a pocket knife, right? Men, One of the everyday carries that you have. This is the one, it's out of my backpack that I take to the ski hill. Just in case on the ski hill you, I don't know, might need a pocket knife. I carry a screwdriver, a pocket knife, a set of matches, and some toilet paper. And imagine if I was just sitting with you down in one of your groups, or maybe it's later at your home, you invited me over for coffee, or we met in your office somewhere at work, and I was just, you know, carelessly playing with my knife, and then it accidentally slipped out of my hand, and it came towards you, and it stabbed you. You would probably remember that moment for the rest of your life. And if I immediately afterwards, I walked up to you and said, whoa, I didn't mean to. Well, what would that do for the pain that you now feel? The answer is nothing. The careless words, they stab like a sword. That our words, there's power in our words. Our life and our words are life and death. That our words aren't just things that we say. Our words actually do things. And think about how big it is, right? Think about words. Hitler split the world in two with words. Churchill brought the Allies together with words. Our words are powerful. Relate it to God, the most powerful being that there is, the one who created everything with just a word. With just a word, Jesus calmed the seas and the storms, and he said, "Peace, be still." With just a word, Jesus walked up to the grave and said, "Lazarus, come out." Do your words matter? Because every word we speak matters. In 2003, I met this girl, and I was fairly enamored with her. And after we dated for a bit, I went to see Lisa with a ring. And I got down on my knees, and I said the words that you would all expect that I would say. I said, "Would you marry me?" And the words that came out of her mouth next, they were very important words. In fact, those words changed the course of my life. Just two little words changed all of my future. So if we keep all of these stories in mind, with the power of our words in mind, let's walk through this letter, this section that Paul writes to Timothy. So go back to chapter 2, remember chapter 2, verse 14, where he says this. He says, remind them. Remember, Paul is talking about the people that we're to keep discipling, the disciples that make disciples, that like our role to disciple others. Remind us, remind them of these things. Well, what things did we just last week go through? Remind them of the gospel. Remind them of what Jesus did, of who he is. And then in the new section today, command them. And it's a brand new subject to us. Command them before God not to fight about words, which does no good. It only ruins those who hear them. So did you hear what Paul said when I spoke it out? That the way we speak to others impacts their life. So let me ask you this. How do you speak to others? What do you say to your kids? How do you speak to your friends? What about your spouse behind the closed doors when nobody else is listening? How do you speak? What do you say about these people when they're there, when they're not there? Because the reality is that your family, your friends, they will live up to your blessings, or they will come down to your curses. Ben, can you come up here? Yeah, come on up here. My mom and dad, they did kids ministry. They were not pastors, but I was basically a pastor's kid because they were at the church that often. And they had this mascot. He was this burgundy color. He had some floppy ears like a dog, but I don't think it was a dog. And his His name was Mortimer. And Mortimer would always do this skit. So I need some help from you to do a skit. Okay? It's real easy. On the table there, you have something. Show the whole audience the wonderful prize that you have on the table. Ooh, a tube of toothpaste. Okay, can you open that toothpaste up? And can you squeeze it out onto the table there? This is the easy part of the skit. No, squeeze it all out. Get it all out there. Get it all out there. That's pretty good. I didn't use a full tube because I couldn't waste a whole tube of toothpaste. Okay, now the hard part. Can you put the toothpaste back into the tube? Yeah, go for it. Put it in there. Squish it in there. How's it going? Is it working?
Some in.
Are you? No, it doesn't look like you're getting any in. The tube's not getting any fluffier. You just got to squeeze a little bit harder, right? Yeah, put it in there. Is it working?
No.
No. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Just like after you've said the words, you can't put them back in your mouth. Thanks, Ben. Enjoy that. Mortimer, the puppet, the mascot, he would do this, and my mom in this big purple costume, burgundy costume with fuzzy hands would make a huge mess trying to put the toothpaste back in the tube, and it never worked. It only made the mess worse. So have you ever said something that slipped out? Something that you didn't mean to say? Right? I've been there. You want to take those words, you want to grab those words, and you want to put them back in, but you can't. In the Old Testament, Isaac, the son of Abraham, if you remember these stories, he's got two sons. And I don't have time to tell the whole story, but both of these sons, Jacob and Esau. Esau was his oldest son, and Jacob was his younger one, and he's a trickster, a conniver. And some point in their life, he steals his older brother's inheritance. And near the end of his life, he tricks his dad into giving him his brother's blessing. Isaac is old, and he's sick, and he can't see well, and his dad, Isaac, blesses Jacob. And when Esau finds out, and he shows up to see his dad, he says, Dad, that's okay, I know you blessed Jacob, but can you just take that blessing back from Jacob? Can you give that blessing that is rightfully mine? Can you give it to me? But the problem is, once the words come out of your mouth, they do what words do. Isaac gave the blessing to Jacob, and he couldn't give that blessing to Isaac because it was already given away. In line with that story, Paul encourages Timothy. He says, work hard and do your best. So let me ask you this. When it comes to the words that come out of your mouth, are you doing your best? Or are you making excuses? Are the words coming out of your mouth meant to build people up? And I don't mean, are you foul-mouthed, saying swear words? I mean, are the words out of your mouth building people up? Or are they tearing people down? Paul says, work hard so you can present yourself to God and receive his approval. Be a good worker. Be one who does not need to be ashamed, who correctly explains the word of truth. So the words, our words, the words that come out of our mouths, they should line up with the word of God. So that when we speak the very truth, the very words of God. And then Paul turns and he gives this warning. He says, avoid worthless, foolish talk, for it will lead people into more and more godless behavior. Avoid foolish talk. Avoid it. Stay away from it. Be as far away from it as you can. And we all know things like gossip, they're wrong, so we try and stay away from it. But what about the stuff that happens between the truth and the gospel? The gray areas. Avoid it. Stay as far away as you can. People who are followers of Jesus are not supposed to get in those kinds of conversations. We don't spread rumors or opinions. We don't talk down about people. Don't even share your frustrations about someone when you should be going to the source, to the person you're frustrated with, to solve the problem together. Stop talking about the issue with others when you should be going to the source itself. And then Paul says in verse 17, and their talk will spread like cancer. I want you to notice there's a little asterisk there. Because it actually says their talk will spread like gangrene. Modern translators changed it to cancer because we understand that. But gangrene, have you ever seen gangrene? Like, guys, ladies don't, but guys, I dare you after the service to go Google gangrene. Like, it is the sickest, grossest thing that you have ever seen, and it just spreads. And I'm telling you, I'm just warning you, it's nasty. It's probably the nastiest thing that I've ever seen in my life. It's rotten. While it's still on you, it's rotting. And the only thing that you can do to get rid of it is to cut it out. And so what Paul is telling Timothy, we don't want gangrene here in our church by spreading rumors and talking about people and cutting people down. So cut it out. Cut it out. Cut those stories off by cutting out that gangrene. And then Paul goes on to name a few people by name. How bold of that as a leader. How countercultural in Canada. He names these people. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already happened, that Jesus already came back, and they're upsetting the faith of some. And you see these people are spreading lies in the church. Now, this is an aside, but one of the things I've heard Christians say often is, well, if it's true, then I should tell it. And I don't know if we have a license just to say whatever is true. Right? Maybe we should run it through a filter. And a good filter that we could use is simply this. Number one, is it grace-filled truth? Number two, is it timely? Is it the right moment? And number three, would the things I'm saying be helpful? Because if it's not those things, is it really truth? You see, Paul writes another letter. He wrote it to the church in Ephesus, the church that Timothy is now becoming the pastor of. So that letter correlates very closely with this letter. And in Ephesians 4:29, he says this, "Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth." I want to say it again. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Instead, let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Right, Paul says this like we need to be on guard. Have you ever had a whole bunch of words that start in your mind and they're circling there, and I should have said this, I should say this, next time I'm going to say this, and maybe they start in your heart and they begin to rush to the gate of your mouth, and in the middle of that conversation, in that argument, when the emotions are high and it's heated, Paul's like, don't let them come out. Zip it, close it. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth. Because words do stuff. That word corrupting in Ephesians, it's similar to the word gangrene. It's like a rotting fish or rotting food. So don't let any rotting talk come out of your mouth. Instead, let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words can be an encouragement to those who hear them. I spent a lot of years in my young adult life working in a construction site. And I was the foreman for a general contractor. I would spend my days organizing the other boys to do the work. And this was a tool that I hung on my belt. I'm one of those guys that carries it in the back because I didn't use it all the time. But this tool is a very important tool. We all recognize it. It's a hammer. But specifically, this hammer does two things. See, on the business end, you drive in nails. Again, we all know this. But when you're driving in nails, you're building something. You're putting something together. You're creating. Right? I spent a lot of time building forms, concrete staircases, where the corner I was often stuck in. But I want you to look at the other end of the hammer. This is a very important tool, too. This end creates, but this end destroys. I would take apart forms. I would pull out nails. I would do a lot of destruction with that end of my hammer. Construction, destruction. All from one tool. Well, what about the tool God has given you? Right in the middle of our faces. Are we being constructive or are we being destructive? You can use the same tool to build up and to tear down. And so Paul is instructing Timothy, only use the words that build up, as fits the occasion, that it might give grace. That's what the gospel truth is to those who hear. So let me ask you this. Over the last season, have you been watching your mouth? Have you been a blessing or have you been a curse? Are your words encouraging or are they tearing down? Because here's what's happening. I know this. Somebody may know that you're here today. They might not be in this room, but they know that you're here today. And you're hearing this teaching right now. And they are hoping that you get it. They're hoping that you understand what the Holy Spirit is leading us to. You see, because with our very own words, we can repent. I've heard it said, and I've seen it in action. The three most powerful things that you could ever tell people, ever, are this. I love you, thank you, and I'm sorry. And maybe those are the words that you need to use to the people that you've been careless with. And as you hear this, you might be thinking, okay, as we read through this, Paul, how in the world are we going to pull this off? Like, if you knew the things that I said in my past, how's it going to work? Well, Paul says, I'm glad you asked. Because in verse 19, he says, but God's truth stands firm like a foundation stone. Right? Like the stone that can't be moved until the whole building is gone. That foundation stone, the one that you started with. God's truth stands like a firm foundation stone with this inscription. The Lord knows who are His. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from evil. See, leave it to God to use the very thing that gets us into so much trouble, our mouths, to also be the very tool that claims Him as Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe that in your heart, that God raised Him from the dead, then you will be saved. He goes on to say that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So as followers of Jesus, may we be reminded of the gospel in our lives. May we be the people that use our mouths, that use our words for blessing, not for cursing. Amen? Let's pray. Don't you love our kids? Jesus, thank you for our kids, that they can learn your truth, that they can make loud noises for you, that they can use their lips, their mouths, their words. Jesus, I ask us here. I ask that you would meet us where we're at. The things I've said in the past, some of them on purpose when I lost control, some of them by accident because I didn't know any better. I didn't realize it. God, would you take the words that I've said that have been hurtful and painful, and would you bring healing to that pain that I caused? For all of us here, God, we have that prayer. And it starts with an I'm sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry for opening my big mouth, for saying things that maybe I thought in the moment were best, but they were not, especially as I look back. Jesus, would you forgive me for them? God, even the positive words that I said with a bad heart, you know, the ones who sort of say the truth, I can be kind to you and you don't realize you've been insulted until later. Jesus, would you take those words, the ones I've used behind closed doors, the thoughts I've had in my mind because, well, you've brought sin to a new level by exposing it and then sharing you, your life, your blood to cover it. So I'm sorry. I'm sorry for what I've said. Would you cover my sin? I know you died on the cross for our place. Your blood has made us acceptable to be in God's presence. Would you not die again, because that's once for all, but would you remind us of that foundation truth that you gave to us, that gospel message that says, Jesus is more than enough. I turn to you. And would you encourage us, strengthen us, remind us, whatever words we want to use, take your Holy Spirit and put into our actions right now ways that we can correct what we've done in the past. And change us, change our hearts, renew our minds to be like you. So in the future, the words we bring, the heart we carry and express with our actions, God, would that be pleasing to you? Would it build up? Would it be uplifting? Would it be a blessing? So, Jesus, we ask you one more time to do what you are good at doing, at transforming us into your people. Take us where we're at. We come as we are, but change us into who you are calling us to be. Today, starting with our words. And would you give us the strength to go and say, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me to the people we've hurt? Only by your Spirit can this be done. So move in your Spirit today. In your name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for hearing this. This is incredible words that Paul wrote. As we close, I want to give you a chance to move into action. If you hear something and you learn it, but then you never do something with it, it's easily forgotten. So, Alex, can you throw it up on the screen one more time? Is our closing discussion question. If you would gather around with the people you met before, and would you pray for each other? This is a hard thing, like probably the hardest thing that you will ever do in your life, ever. Would you pray for each other and talk about this? Who is someone that you could speak life to? If it's appropriate, name them in the group. If it's not, please don't. What would you say to them? What would you say to that person? So go for it right now. Be blessed as you go. I'll see you again next week.